Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine. He is Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. It's great to be with you. Another edition of this podcast. We're going to dive into all things Browns. It's going to be a 30-minute sprint of the orange and brown, and there's a ton to get to today because Kareem Hunt spoke today. Odell Beckham Jr. spoke today. The Browns are 2-6. We're going to dive into all things Browns in just a second. But first, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, including the radio.com app. And make sure, do this, please. 5-star reviews so more Cleveland sports fans can find this podcast. We come at you every single week, and make sure you follow us in all of our work, not just the podcast, on our website, 92.3thefan.com. All right, Daryl, let's dive into it because there's a ton to get to in a short amount of time. It's concise. I want to forget about Denver because, that's in the past. Now we're focused on Sunday. It is the Bills. They come to town. It's the Browns' first home game in quite some time. They're looking for their first win at home this season. What is the mood like in that locker room? You've been there the past couple of days. Obviously, you were there today for OBJ and Kareem Hunt. How are they feeling right now in Berea?
It doesn't feel like a 2-6 team, which is interesting, but in a good way. Because I think if they were all down in the dumps, which understandably so if they were, but they're not, you'd understand. But the mood in the locker room has been like it's been in previous weeks. I don't really notice much of a change. Baker Mayfield seems, a little resolved to try and get this thing turned around. Everybody's excited because Kareem Hunt is going to be available to them starting Sunday afternoon, and they'll have that dynamic duo coming out of the backfield with Nick Chubb. So, again, it doesn't feel like you're hanging around a team that's 4 games below 500. Their season's pretty much shot because of that. They feel pretty confident about, getting this thing on track, which they need to do because if they're going to make a playoff, they basically got to win 8 games in a row, and that has not happened in like 50 years. You have to go back to, I think, 1972 is the last time the franchise won 6 straight games. So this would be an historic turnaround for the franchise if they get on a second half roll.
And that was what was so deflating about the Denver game to me. It wasn't the fact that they lost. It was how they lost and what it did record-wise. Now there's no margin for error. In a game that you should have won on the road, and regardless, you're just so much more talented, you lose that game, and now there's no margin of error. You have to play a pretty solid Bills team that, regardless of what you think schedule-wise, has a really good defense, a really solid running game, is built to win in the cold. They're an extremely physical team. And in the whole mood, I would have been so positive about this team had they been 3-5. You get Kareem Hunt back. You're getting your safety back this week. Like, all of these things are happening, you feel good. And instead, it's, you could beat the Bills, and it still doesn't matter because you got the Steelers 4 days later. And if you beat them, you're still 2 games under 500. Like, they've dug themselves in such a hole that I want to be optimistic at this stage of the week and in the week, and I want to feel good about what you just said. I just can't because they're 2-6, Daryl.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I just that loss to Denver was so devastating on numerous levels and just really sucked the life out of the season. Came in with all these expectations. I feel like an idiot because I'm talking about they're going to go 10-6. Maybe they win the division. I thought they could win a game in January, a playoff game, and you know, I just, like I said, I feel pretty stupid. I got everybody hyped up for no good reason. But the other part of this, too, is when you start to look ahead in the future of the franchise, and do you bring back Freddie Kitchens in 2020 and all those type of things? You know, if they get on a second half roll, is it, you know, 2018 redo where you turn around and you're thinking, well, they didn't play anybody. The teams that they beat weren't that great, and they got hot, and is it fool's gold? And, you know, those are the other things that you start to talk about and think about. And I think it complicates the evaluation of the whole situation, you know, for the organization. So they're in an extremely difficult spot in more ways than one. The franchise quarterback is having an awful year. His mechanics are out of whack. His accuracy is out of whack. He has absolutely no chemistry with anybody on the football field. I mean, it's a mess. I mean, it's not about being negative or piling on the Browns. It's just, this is where they're at right now, and it's bitterly disappointing, again, considering what we all hoped for and expected. You know, I wrote about Kareem Hunt's return today, James, on the website that, yeah, you know, on paper, Nick Chubb's averaging over 5 yards a carry. We know what Kareem Hunt was able to do with Kansas City, and the expectation is from a football perspective, he's going to do the same thing for the Browns. They're going to have this dynamic 1-2 punch coming out of the backfield. But you know what? Thought the same freaking thing with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, and that hasn't materialized. So, yeah, you know, you want to get excited about getting a potential additional playmaker on the field, but, I mean, they got three playmakers now that they've not been able to do much with.
I want to talk about Kareem Hunt and kind of what your takeaways are from him and talking with him today, because it's the first time he's talked with the media since coming back from suspension, and obviously he's eligible to play. And he made it known 342 days since the last time he had played. So I want to get into that. But first, let's stick with the Bills, because if they're going to get 5-6 wins, they got to get one. And I look at this game Sunday, and I think, all right, you have Nick Chubb. No doubt about it, he's averaging over 5 yards carry. He's one of the top backs in the NFL. And then you get Kareem Hunt back, who honestly might be better than Nick Chubb. And I know people don't want to say that or hear that right now, and he might not be as talented, at least, or more talented than Nick Chubb. He's not better at this point because he hasn't played in a long time. But the point is, you have two bell cows in that backfield. I think the way you saw things for a second-year quarterback who's struggling – the way you solve things for an offense who hasn't found its identity yet, for an offensive line who struggled, is you give your running backs 40 touches on Sunday. That might mean if you win the coin toss, you take the ball. And I know people hate that, but you take the ball and you run it. And you establish that physical game plan, and you just run it down their throats. You say we're going to run it 40 times. Kareem Hunt's going to get 15 touches. Nick Chubb's going to get 25 touches. And we are going to out-physical you and grind this out and get a victory. I think that's the blueprint. They have the defense to do that. I think they have the offensive line and running backs to do that. This isn't an OBJ week for me. This isn't a Baker Mayfield week for me. There will be those weeks if they're going to be successful. But to me, this is Chubb. This is Hunt. This is a lot of run. This is a lot of ground and pound. Kick field goals if you need to. But just be physical and get points and just slowly matriculate the ball down the field. I think that's the blueprint to win. One in the winter, two in the AFC North, and three against a physical team like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and you know, the forecast for the game has been changing by the day. I mean, earlier this week they were saying 35 and snow, then it was rain and 45. Now they're saying it's going to be sunny and 50. So, I agree with you to a certain extent. My concern, and I asked Kareem this today as well, you know, because when you have guys that are coming back that haven't played for a long time, you worry about soft tissue injuries. And I don't want to overextend Kareem right out of the gate because I'm concerned that he's going to pull something. So I do agree. You got to establish the run, dictate the pace of the game at the line of scrimmage, and really show the Bills who's boss on Sunday. But I'm a little concerned that if you overwork Hunt, he ends up injuring himself, and then you're in a world of hurt. I think Kareem Hunt may benefit you actually more going against the Pittsburgh Steelers 4 days later than maybe Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, just from the standpoint of he's got the fresh legs of these two guys. So I'm very curious to see what Freddie Kitchens and Todd Monken, and I'm trying to keep a straight face as I say this, creatively draw up and are able to use these two weapons coming out of the backfield. Because, again, on paper, they should be able to destroy teams on the ground. But we thought on paper they were going to be able to destroy teams through the air, and that, well, has not materialized yet.
He's Darryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. Darryl's so damn busy, we couldn't do this from the studio. That's how much content he has on our website right now at 923thefan.com. So make sure you go there, check it out. Great stuff there. And I wrote about the Cavs, too. So if you're interested in Darius Garland or Colin Sexton, or Sexland as they're calling them, you can check out my stuff there as well. Let's stick with this, because to me, the key to unlocking Baker, and I will give them credit last week, I think they tried for the first time maybe all season a play-action deep ball. Baker really wanted it. He ended up getting sacked because the offensive line didn't hold up. But I think he was trying to go downfield, play-action deep ball. That's what I want to see. Like, if we're going to see any passing this Sunday, it has got to be after the run is extremely established. They've had 8 runs to 3 passes, and they're going to go play action and make life on Baker easier. I think Baker's still going to be a damn good quarterback, but he hasn't been through 8 weeks. And so now they have to find a way to pick him up. And you're right, man. This play calling and the questions, I don't want to come on here. And I could have started with Freddie Kitchens, and we could have started with Freddie Kitchens, and we could talk all podcast and every podcast every week about Freddie Kitchens. He blows my mind. There's no way that team should have lost in Denver. But you know the biggest surprise to me, Darryl, about last week? It wasn't the play calling or the mismanagement of third and fourth down or Dontrell Hilliard being in or the quarterback sneak or the challenges or anything like that, because I could talk about all of that stuff and trash Freddie. The thing that bothers me the most is the Browns came out flat in a must-win game on the road, backs against the wall, 2-5 against an inferior opponent, and that's exactly what the damn Broncos are. They came out flat, and that is a reflection of the head coach, and that really is what bothers me the most, and that's why I'm interested in, and that's why I was interested in the vibe of the locker room, because if they come out flat again in front of this home crowd at First Energy Stadium on Sunday, you're going to lose a lot of people that are hanging on by just a thread right now going into this week.
Well, and coming out flat's been a habit. They came out flat against Denver. They came out flat against New England. They came out flat against San Francisco. So these are, you know, these are problems that they need to address. They've not had fast starts. They've been outscored in the first quarter significantly, and they're having to play from behind. There are two things that I do not want to see this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. The first thing is I do not want to see Dontrell Hilliard on the field on third or fourth down. That's number one, right?
I don't want to see him on the field. You have Kareem Hunt and you have Nick Chubb.
Right. And the second thing that I don't want to see is an empty backfield at all. I want to see at least one or both with Hunt and Chubb in the backfield. Because to your point earlier about the play action. Well, you can't do play action if you have nobody in the backfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they should have somebody in the backfield every single down. And that is my expectation come Sunday. And if they don't do that, then, you know, I think you know where I'm going with that one.
Yeah, it boggles my – because that's the one thing, like, in training camp and before that. Like, Freddie, I knew he would have his lumps and take his lumps as a first-year head coach. But I thought he would be able to get his guys motivated to come out and play with fire. And I did not see that to start the game. Now, again, they should have still won it. Baker should have found OBJ. He blew past Chris Harris, had him on the far side. Game winner, right? They win that game. They could steal that game if he makes that play. But right now, things aren't going well. You're out of sync. So guess what you have to do? I watch the Cavaliers do it all the time. They're very rarely more talented than their opponent.
Right.
But they hustle their ass off every single possession.
Absolutely.
And this Browns team doesn't do that. They don't do it. And it's mind-blowing, because if they just do that, Darryl, that's 8 wins right there because of how talented they are. And you just scrape together a couple more, and we're talking about a playoff team.
Well, Well, and here's the other thing too. It's like, and talking with Odell today, you know, he made a, because Baker's just zinging the ball. Not only has Baker been inaccurate, not only has his mechanics been and his footwork been awful, but like he's got Derek Anderson in him, and where he's just throwing everything 900 miles an hour. You don't have to throw the football through a brick wall every time you're doing it. I understand if you're trying to zip it into a tight window, absolutely. But you know, Baker lacks touch on his passes, and Odell kind of talked about that diplomatically today. He said, yeah, I don't know if it was the altitude or what, but he was, you know, sending him in there with, you know, with some heat. And, you know, we were joking with him about it this week, but as they say, with every joke, there's a little bit of truth. And I think that that's Odell's way of saying that, hey, get a little more touch on some of those throws and make it a little easier on us as receivers, you know, to catch the ball, because and that's probably the hardest part of being a wide receiver, aside from having a guy hanging all over you. But a lot of times, as you know, James, when you're running those routes, you're whipping your head and your hands around, and the ball's there, and you got to make the catch. And it's often a contested catch. You know, it's not like you're running down the sideline and you're just tracking the ball the whole time. That's not how it works. So, and also too, they're not taking deep shots down the field like they did last year. Those plus 20-yard throws, we're not seeing a lot of that stuff too. So this, for all the red zone struggles, I mean, they have self-compacted the field on themselves outside of the red zone. And that's one of a million other problems we've already mentioned in, you know, 15 minutes or so that we've been doing this podcast already. So, you know, these are things that should have been corrected weeks ago. And we're sitting here going into game number 9, still talking about them needing to be corrected if they're going to start winning these games. And that's what's so frustrating is, okay, they said they needed to cut down their penalties. They needed to cut down their turnovers in order to have a chance to win. And they did that at Denver. Zero turnovers. First time all season the Browns did not commit a turnover. Then they commit a season low 5 penalties. Granted, those 5 penalties, I think, came like at the worst possible freaking time and that they were costly, but still, 5 penalties, a season low, I think it was 40 yards, James, that they were penalized. Those are all positive things to take away from that game, but we're just dipping into the moral victory bucket again. So they did the things that they needed to do from a focus standpoint in eliminating those costly mistakes, but it wasn't enough. And that's what bothers me, or not bothers me, I should say, concerns me the most, is they did what they needed to do from a focus and a mistake elimination standpoint, and it still was not good enough to win a football game. And that's a little discouraging. So hopefully, you know, they've had the 5th straight week of great practices, and they've been able to kind of iron out some of these details that they continue to lack, and they're able to go out and really assert themselves at Buffalo's expense and come away with a quality win. Because as you said earlier in the podcast, Buffalo's a pretty good team. Josh Allen, I think, is of that 2018 rookie class. I think Josh Allen might be the most improved quarterback. And I know some people are like, what about Lamar Jackson? I'm not going to say Lamar Jackson's improved because he was good last year. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Sam Darnold hasn't improved nearly enough. Baker Mayfield obviously has regressed. So I think that Josh Allen is the most improved of that class. He's got some ball security issues. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Attention defense. Problem is, Olivier Vernon might not be available. And it doesn't look like Olivier Vernon is going to be available. So every time we think that they're ready to take one of those steps forward, you worry that they're going to take a step back. And then Sunday comes, and guess what they do? They take a step back.
He's Del Ryder. I'm James Erpine. Up next, we'll get the vibe in the locker room today when it came to Kareem Hunt talking OBJ. Plus, I'm going to try to get Daryl to give a prediction for Sunday, and I will certainly give you mine. That's next on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, Daryl, you were there today in Berea, and Kareem Hunt spoke for the first time. I want to get into Odell Beckham Jr. as well, but Kareem Hunt spoke for the first time since being reinstated. What was he feeling? I assume he's excited, extremely excited to get back on the field and get back to work. What did Kareem have to say?
Yeah, you know, obviously he's getting ready to get himself back on the field and be able to play for the first time, and I think it's 353 days, something like that. He's keeping track. You know, he's been keeping track since he was released. It's 342 days, I believe, since the Chiefs released him hours after that TMZ video had come out. So he's excited. He feels like he does have a new lease on life. I asked him point blank, why are you a better man today than you were a year ago? And he said, I've had a lot of time to reflect on everything that has happened. I've learned to kind of control my emotions. I realize I am under a microscope, and you know, my margin for error is next to none when it comes to off the field. So he was all smiles in the locker room. Odell Beckham was very excited about getting Kareem Hunt out on the field. He feels that Hunt deserves a second chance and a new lease on life. And, you know, Baker Mayfield said on Wednesday that he expects Kareem's going to come out and have a major impact. That's what Mayfield said, major impact. So, you know, we'll see if ultimately he's able to do that. Most importantly, Kareem's got to be a much better man off the field, and the football stuff's going to come secondary because we know what he can do on the field. We expect greatness there. He has greatness in his talent. Hopefully the counseling that he's been through and hopefully some of the other things that he's done off the field to position himself to play football again, hopefully he's able to maintain that type of behavior and continue to successfully deal with whatever issues had been troubling him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of impact, what kind of game plan they have for him. I would love the two-back set, which I know you've talked about, in motioning Kareem Hunt. He would be the one I would motion into that slot spot, and you can get real creative. I just don't know if they're going to do that, and I also think it is a good point. You have a Thursday night game just 4 days later. Some of this stuff, the Kareem Hunt package, if you don't unveil it against Buffalo, and the Browns have no margin for error, so it's not like they can save anything. If they need to use that bullet, they use it. But if they do end up saving anything, it would be good with just four days in between games for sure. So that's good from a football standpoint. This Browns offense is as talented as any in the – like, Hunt, Chubb are two top 10 running backs when they're both – healthy, when they're both on the field. Obviously, Hunt hasn't been on the field for almost a year. And we know what Jarvis can do. He's a top 20, top 25 receiver. And OBJ is a top 5 player. So this, there's no excuse now. It's up to Freddie Kitchens to put his players in position to succeed. And it's up to Baker Mayfield to get it done. It just is. And I thought it was interesting yesterday. Yesterday as in Wednesday, a subdued Baker Mayfield. He wasn't, you know, fiery. He wasn't, you know, yelling at reporters. He was very calm, cool, collected. I get the feeling someone in the Browns organization said, hey, Six, relax a bit, all right? Your completion percentage is 57%. How about you chill out and just say the right things here and go show it on the field?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And obviously, they talk, and because we're asking the questions, and that's not what I mean when I say this, but, you know, they can't keep talking about, you know, how good they are, how good they could be or whatnot. They just got to go out and do it, you know. And, again, I understand. Every time I go in the locker room, I'm always asking those type of questions. You know, how good can you be? You know, how can you salvage the season? Can you turn this thing around? Are you going to turn it around? What's it take to turn it around? So I realize I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth in that regard, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, they just got to go out there and do it. They have the talent to do it. They have the talent to win all 8 games on the schedule. I just don't think it's going to happen because it just hasn't happened in half a century. And, you know, I think that it's only natural that you're gonna slip up and lose one of those games. I really think that the best case scenario for this team is that they go 9-7. Is that good enough to get you a wild card? I don't believe so. I don't think 9-7 wins the AFC North, even if one of those victories is a win over Baltimore and you end up sweeping the season series from them, because you're 4 games behind them in the standings right now. And I don't see making up 4 games in 8 weeks on the Baltimore Ravens, even though their schedule starts to turn into what the Browns dealt with in the first half of their season. So I think they just need to just go out there and do it and tune out, because they're very aware. The other thing too is like the coach speak and the players speak about, we don't pay attention to you guys. We don't read anything you guys write. You know, you guys are a bunch of buffoons and you're off the bandwagon, or, you know, as Baker likes to say, you've thrown us. So obviously you do read and listen to everything that's, you know, said and written. And I get it. You know what, Mitchell Trubisky earlier this week in Chicago, didn't he? He wanted all the TVs turned off in Hallis Hall because he got tired of all the shows being on criticizing him in the Chicago Bears. And I do think that the Browns really need to have a bunker like mentality and tune out what I'm saying or what you're saying, or, you know, any of our hosts are saying in that, because it doesn't matter. Like, we, contrary to popular belief, you know, I always love going on Twitter and, you know, fans ripping me or blaming the media. The local media sucks. That's why the Browns suck every year. Listen, I got news for people. I've never dropped a pass. I've never blown an assignment. I've never missed a tackle. I've never thrown an interception or fumbled the ball. I've never called a bad play. I've never blown a draft pick or a free agency signing. I have zero impact on the Cleveland Browns. I really don't. And I am not arrogant enough to say that I do. I don't. I don't matter in this grand scheme of things when it comes to the Cleveland Browns performance. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, egotistically, yeah, sure. I mean, if I did, this team would have been winning early in the season when I kept saying how great they are and how they're going to turn this thing around, and they're just a tick away from, you know, blowing up and exploding offensively or whatever. That hasn't happened. So, you know, me ripping them when they're losing, I don't have an effect. And I fans don't really understand that. I don't. And neither do any of my colleagues that cover the team. We do not win or lose football games for the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns do that on their own.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And they have the talent. And that's what's so mind-boggling. And that's what people – I went on a rant. If I was calling the shots, I don't know if I could have kept Freddie. They cannot, should not, I can't believe they did lose to the Broncos. Anyways, it's the Bills this week. And here's the thing. Call me a fool because I just said that, right? I would have moved on from the coach. But they play the Bills this week. And the Bills are 6-2. But – something tells me, much like the Seattle game, I think they're going to come out and play well. Now, they should have won that Seattle game. Part of that's Russell Wilson's great. I don't think Josh Allen's great. I think that this Browns team gets a win this week. I don't know what it is, and I can't believe I'm saying it. And it's mind-boggling that I feel that way today, and I'm going to look like an idiot on Sunday afternoon when they lose. But I think that they're going to find a way to get it done, get a victory, get to 3-6, and suddenly we're talking about how crucial Thursday night's game against Pittsburgh is. Call me crazy, call me whatever you want. I think that ground and pound's going to work. I think they're going to make just enough plays. I think Baker knows he can't throw 2 or 3 interceptions. They might even force a turnover or two. I think the Browns win 20-17 on Sunday. What say you?
I am 4-4 on the season, which means I'm having a better season than the Browns are. So I got that going for me. I think they're going to win too.
Wow.
I just, I, 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 course, then again, I thought they were going to beat the Broncos, and, well, we saw how that went.
We were both wrong.
Here's the thing. Not only did I think they were going to beat the Broncos, James, I thought they were going to beat the Broncos by, like, 14 points. So, whoops. Because Josh Allen doesn't take care of the ball. That's a problem for the Buffalo Bills. I think he's got, like, 10 fumbles on the season. So I think opportunity presents itself to create some turnovers, give yourself some extra opportunities. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, some way, somehow, just because they're so overdue, I think OBJ is going to do something. I don't know what. I don't know how. I just think he's going to do something. So I am going to pick the Browns. I don't have a score yet. I need to sleep on it. But I do think the Browns are going to end this losing streak at 4, which, if I remember my stat that I tweeted earlier this week, and this is how just bat bleep crazy this franchise has been since 1999 from a just god-awful, unwatchable standpoint, it would mark just, I think, the third or fourth time since 1999 that they stopped the losing streak at 4. And they've gone on to lose like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 17 in a row multiple times. So that's just, you know, I think that they end the losing streak at 4 on Sunday. I don't think that puts them back in playoff positioning or back in the playoff race or anything like that. But I think if anything, it starts slowing the bleeding up just a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're too talented. At some point, you get a dub. And they're probably sick of it. They have to win. I get it. They have to. But
can't go 0-4 at home. Like, they're 0-3. They've played 3 home games, 5 road games, right? They've not won a game at home yet. And they're going to play 5 of their final 8 at home, including their next 3. So they've got Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and then Miami. So that is actually, James, I mean, and this is the unique situation they find themselves in. They could win these next 3 games. All 3 of these games are very winnable. Even Pittsburgh, and I know Pittsburgh's won, I think they've won like 4 of 5 or 4 of 6, something like that. But if they win the next 3, that gets them to what? 5 and 6, correct?
Yeah, yeah. If they
That would get them to 5 and 6 and going to Pittsburgh trying to get back to 500 on December 1. And you want to talk about getting that Brown-Steelers rivalry reignited and back to a level that it used to be and playing a meaningful game between the two franchises late in the season, that could end up being a big game for both.
I can't even think about that, Daryl.
I know.
They can't even beat the damn Broncos.
I can't put the cart before the horse.
Who the hell's Brandon Allen? What is that? Some soapbox character? I have no idea. Like, if you told me Brandon Allen was a race car driver, I would believe you last week.
Not one, but 2 touchdown passes against the Browns.
Insane. Yeah, insane. He outduels Baker Mayfield on a football field.
Yeah.
It ridiculous. All right, he's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. Both of us have the Browns winning, so naturally you should subscribe to the podcast to hear our nonsense because we know they probably won't win this week. I can't believe I feel this way. And I just go with my gut, and I go with my – and I think they're going to win this week. Also, I watched the Bills play earlier this year against the Bengals, and they were trash and barely won. So I think that was they were at home. I was in the Indians clubhouse. Everybody was watching that game.
And they've had Miami on the schedule, and they beat them. They beat the Jets, who are hot garbage as well. So I understand. And, you know, I was on with our sister station, WGR, up in Buffalo earlier this week, and they're all moaning about the Bills being 6-2, but it's not a legitimate 6-2 because of the schedule. And I'm like, look, first of all, you got to play your schedule. And would you rather be losing to those teams? What are you complaining about? The Browns would kill to be 6-2 with your schedule at this point and playing poorly. I go back to week 2 when we were all complaining they beat the Jets by 20, even though they should have beaten the Jets by 50 with the third-string quarterback that ended up being on the field that night at the Meadowlands. But I'm with you. I think that they win, they get it done, and we're going to have a much happier podcast next week.
Be on the lookout for that early next week. Make sure you keep it locked on 92.3thefan.com for Daryl's latest, my latest. We got a ton. We got a ton of stuff up there. Daryl is working on some more stuff Browns-wise, and we'll have plenty as well, including my fantasy football stardom, sit 'em. All right, just because the Browns are losing doesn't mean your fantasy team has to. Check it out. 923thefan.com. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast. For Dale Ryder, I'm James Erpine. This has been the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.